One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, peas. This is your summer series episodes for you today.
Woohoo! We've never had a summer series. We're very proud of ourselves for actually organizing it. Although all we've done is record these few words and the sound engineer has done everything else.
But we hope you enjoy listening back. You might have missed some of these episodes. You might have enjoyed them before. Have a listen again and thank you.
Yeah, these episodes are all people that we've interviewed that we've really enjoyed talking to. Some of them are famous people, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And we thought you might like to listen. It helps us out over the summer and, you know, maybe you'd get lonely without our voices.
Probably,
I don't know.
Probably not.
Anyway, enjoy, peace.
Thank you.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and the multiple birth parents of children with disabilities who love to share stories.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word. It's not suitable for children. Unless your children are like my children. And don't mind the odd F word. Okay, put your headphones on.
Yes.
People. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
We're back.
Yay.
It's freezing cold in Victoria.
Yes.
What a shock. It's winter.
Sicktoria, we're being Sick-toria. Called.
Did you hear? Ross Noble on the project, and he said, Australia's like the Spice Girls and Victoria's just letting everyone down.
That's us.
Anyway, that's us. Hopefully by the time you hear this in a week and a half, our numbers will have dropped.
But at the moment, right now, we're right in the thick of it.
We're right in the thick of it.
Going up and up and up.
Mandy and I, though, are in safe postcodes.
We're in the outer east. We actually share a postcode, so that one is safe.
Yeah, we've been joking about we can still see each other because we share a postcode. But our postcode at today is safe. No, we don't know what's going to happen in the next.
By the time you listen.
Someone sent me a message and said, oh, you and Mandy were so hopeful about how great the school holidays were going to be. I was like, yes, we're no more hope.
Don't listen to us.
Don't listen to us. We told you it's not an advice podcast.
We are unreliable narrators.
Very. And we record a week before it comes out. I don't know why we talk about topical things.
I don't know either.
Anyway, people listen.
Yeah.
All right. So we have three microphones today. One of those microphones is not in Victoria. We're recording over the internet.
Yes.
Okay. And our beautiful guest today is Tristram Peters. Hello.
How are we?
Yes, well, we're Tristram. It's lovely to have you.
It's lovely to be here. Sending all the positive thoughts from Queensland as well.
It's crazy
what's happening at the moment.
It is.
All the Victorians are sad to not be able to go up there in July, I'm telling you.
They're really...
It's not that much warmer, I have to admit. Okay. As well,
so. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's still, I think... The rich Melburnians, they do go to Port Douglas. This is their time. And so they're suffering. They're like the poor people. They're all together.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, so before we introduce you, we will say if you listen to the Grow Bold podcast, you will know who Tristram is. Otherwise, we're going to find out in a second.
Yes.
So we're going to run our three questions. The first question that we have for all of our guests is, do you have a particular band or song or music that's got you through bad times or pumps you up for good times?
I have the most eclectic taste in music. So it is one end of the extreme. We've got AC/DC's Thunderstruck, which is my power chair football team song.
Awesome.
So that gets the team ready to go.
Yeah.
And then I also listen to weird New Orleans blues and jazz. Yeah. So I listen to a bit of blues sometimes when I want to rev up. It's quite strange.
That's the great thing about music.
That's right.
It's so personal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But no, it's good to have a list of songs to get pumped up, that's for sure.
It sure is. I love AC/DC. Have you ever seen them live?
I haven't. Mm. It's one of the bucket list items. It's probably not going to happen yet.
I don't think it's going to happen. No.
I just keep listening to Spotify and get my fix that way.
Maybe they need to do like a live Facebook thing.
I think that one of their members has got dementia or something. I feel like maybe they're not doing... This could be wrong, but I feel like maybe they're not doing any more live.
Right, okay.
Live gigs. But, yeah, that's a sea of black shirts when you go to AC/DC. Oh, really? Everyone's in a black T-shirt. It's awesome.
Well, my question, Tristram, is did you win in any awards at school?
I will confess to you both and your listeners that I was a massive nerd.
Oh, awesome. Tell us.
I actually topped... in my school, English, ancient history and modern history.
Wow.
My passion. I loved reading. I loved, as a story, both mum and dad were teachers. They met during their country service in regional Queensland. And that imparted on me this love of words. And that set me up well for school. It was, it was good times.
Oh, that's good. You know, we don't dislike people who win awards.
No, we're happy for award winners.
We are happy for award winners.
That's one of my favourite things is finding out because we've had so many different awards.
Varied.
And then it goes on to show people's strengths. And that was obviously yours, Tristram.
Yeah, no, it's just writing. I loved, even as a kid, writing these weirdly long-winded stories and sharing them with people that didn't always want to read them. I sort of pushed them on people. But it's a lovely passion that I had that, I don't do enough to this day, actually.
You can write for Mandy and I because we're trying to write a book at the moment.
Oh, my word.
And it's quite hard work.
It's quite hard work. I didn't realise.
I just think people who write novels, like, and you actually have to have a theme running through the whole book, mad respect for them.
Really?
Yeah. I'd love to be able to do that, but no. And our last question we ask is, why are you a P or a P friend?
Well, we're very lucky to have you both on our podcast to share your stories and absolutely love the beautiful stories that you share and the messages and the narratives you put out there because it is important to, I suppose, break some of those stereotypes and put out some better stories and love what you guys do. So it's been great to become a P friend of you both.
Oh, thank you.
So great.
It was a lovely episode. We loved talking to you both. And then later on I realised that Pete used to be on Big Brother.
He did. He keeps that quiet. He doesn't advertise.
Oh, I can cut that out. We can cut that out.
No, leave it in.
It's out there.
But I was like, oh, Pete from Big Brother. Why didn't I realise that?
I have to admit as well that his sound engineer, the lovely gentleman who fixes all the sound and whatnot, yeah. He is the guitarist of Grinspoon as well.
Oh, wow.
That was like my fan moment when I realised that because, I used to listen to them growing up. So between Pete and our lovely sound engineer, it's a bit starstruck.
I reckon.
Wow, yeah, you've got a celebrity podcast.
Yeah. You have a lovely tone to your podcast. I really love listening to it.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
How did you actually start doing that podcast?
Yeah, it's a strange old story. So I actually full-time work for an organisation called Clickability.
Yep.
And we're an online service directory that essentially matches participants and providers under the NDIS.
Great,
so
yep.
We do a lot of work in that space, and through them I discovered Feros Care.
Yep.
Who Northern New South Wales doing wonderful work, and I wrote for them, and they did some writing for us, and that formed a beautiful friendship. And then from that, I got invited to a little editorial meeting when they were discussing the podcast, and I foolishly admitted that I used to, in my PR days, do a mango podcast.
What does that
which
mean?
Which is bizarre.
Like mango as in I love mangoes or?
Correct. So mangoes, strawberries and pineapples in total.
Wow.
A fruit
podcast.
So I
did about 60 episodes covering the entire production cycle of those fine fruits.
Wow.
And then I admitted this and that prior experience in podcasting and having written for Ferris, they were like, we'd love you to be on the podcast. And it's been a wonderful opportunity. I love working with Pete, sharing these stories. And, long may it continue. It's been an absolute pleasure.
What is the name of the mango podcast? We need to know.
So it's called Pinata Farms. It's a producer up here. And if you go to the website, you can check it out. I wasn't a voice. I was behind the scenes on that one. So
right.
You can hear my tones, but... they're still live. They're still going.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at that one. There's
a podcast for everything.
That's right. That's why I love podcasts.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you need your fruit fix and want to learn about the cycle of planting mangoes to mango trees rather to how they get on your plate, it's the podcast for you. That's a shameless plug. But
maybe there's some teachers out there.
That's what I mean. High school kids, you know? Brilliant. Oh,
all right.
Amazing.
So now that we've found out about the fruit podcast, which I know Akka, who does the show notes, is going to be, what do I have to find?
Yes,
where is this?
Right.
Sorry, Akka. I wanted to ask, what sort of relationship do you have with your mum?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was diagnosed with a condition called spinal muscular atrophy when I was very, very young. We didn't have any prior disability in our family, so it was the first time that our family had come to grips with that. And my mum was an absolute trailblazer for me. She
was
along with Dad as well, obviously, but Mum was very much of the mind that despite having a disability, there were so many opportunities out there and I needed to seize the day, and she pushed me to get a job. She pushed me to study, and I have a lot to thank in my life due to the wonderful love that mother gave me and advice that she gave me. It's very blessed.
Aww.
Oh, what a woman.
Yeah. We, obviously we normally speak to mums. We're not averse to speaking to sons. But Slightly different. Maybe one day she'll come and chat with us.
Yeah, that's right. But there's breadth to stories
really
we want to introduce into our podcast too.
Yeah.
I suppose the other thing that I'll add about my mum as well is that she's actually a principal. So she's a school principal. And I suppose that gave her like such a great platform in an educational sense to know where to push me towards. And that definitely helped as well.
Did you go to the same school as her or what?
I didn't. It was a conscious decision that I would never be sent to the same school as my mum.
Right.
She felt that it wouldn't be fair on me And so I went to a school not too far away, but
right.
Yeah, not the same school.
Yeah.
And were you in a power chair? What age did you go into a power chair?
Yeah, so I went into a power chair probably about 3 and a half.
Right.
I had this little red power chair that obviously red goes faster.
Obviously.
Yes.
Hence why I had that.
Yep.
And for me, it's funny because I often say this, when I'm writing and doing advocacy work, that it, in many ways was easier for me because I didn't acquire my disability. I had it from birth.
Yes.
So for me, it was my normal and I didn't have to change. And for me, that was in many ways a very sort of empowering thing that my normal is it's slightly different to other people's normal, but it's my normal. And having ownership of that's a powerful thing. So, in a power chair very, very young. And I think I've had probably 6 power chairs over my life now.
Yeah, you would.
Over the course of the past sort of 29 years. And I used to name them. I've stopped naming them. Actually, I should take up that habit again. It's amazing the independence that they've given me for sure.
Yes. And how did you get around school then? Was the school flat that your mum chose? How did she choose it?
Yeah, so I actually had to not go to the closest school because it in the 90s was riddled with stairs, yes. which are my nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to travel about 20 minutes to get to a school that was accessible, but it was amazing. It was like all the teachers were phenomenal. They assisted me greatly, and it was I really look fondly upon my days at school.
Oh,
I absolutely
loved
it.
Oh, that's lovely to hear.
Yeah, that's great. And when you were, I'm going to take you back to earlier. I was reading your blog. Is that you don't blog anymore though, do you?
Not for a while, but it is out there.
It is, yes. So we'll put that in the, there you go. Okay, you can find that and put that in the show notes as well. But there's this really powerful blog that you did on death, and you tell this amazing story of when you had surgery. Could you tell that story to our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So I, as a result of being in a power chair for most of my life, developed scoliosis. So my spine was essentially collapsing in on itself, which was putting pressures on my lungs and as a result wasn't able to breathe as I should have. So within the space of about 6 months, it went from completely straight to about a 60-degree bend.
Wow. Yes.
So we obviously booked in to have the surgery done, and it did not go as it should. I sadly had my lungs collapse and was in a very fragile state in ICU for about a week, I think it was. And I can't imagine what mum and dad were going through this time, but as I touched on in that blog, it's them getting taken to this sort of dark room and being told that I might either be on a ventilator for the rest of my life or I might not actually pull through. So I can't imagine what they were going through, but not to be too flippant, I was high on morphine, so I had no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
So well, thank goodness. That's good. You'll save that memory.
But it's amazing. I remember being prior to the surgery, not the most studious or committed person. And having that experience really propelled me to go, well, I've got to make the most of it. The chance to be alive and sharing stories is something not to be taken for granted. So it really drove me, and that's when I became a nerd at school and started putting in the F and that sort of thing. But it's wonderful what perspective that gives you, those sort of experiences.
Oh, gosh, my goodness.
Because how old were you?
I was 11. 11.
So can you remember much of that? Can you remember?
I remember post-surgery wearing the worst, chest brace of all time.
Right.
And being in, incredible pain because of that. I remember all the lovely cards from my schoolmates wishing me a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
And I also, I don't know why you remember these things. I remember my grandma bringing me a Hungry Jack's Whopper.
Well, because she bought you the one thing you probably really wanted.
Yeah, it was. Didn't want hospital food. She was like, "I'll bring you a Whopper." So I remember that. Really,
totally. The burgers are better.
100%.
I think any. Well, from my experience, if my children have had surgery, I will bring them whatever they ask for.
Mm.
Nothing matters in that moment other than just bringing a little smile to your child's face when they've been through so much suffering. Mm. Yeah, so I can imagine your grandma's like, "Let's get the large meal deal."
That happiness is amazing. One of my favorite stories, my dad and I used to watch these old Marx Brothers films.
Uh-huh, yep.
And there's this story of this guy had a terminal condition in the States, a writer, who had a very bad diagnosis and decided to lock himself in a room and just watch Marx Brothers films for a month.
Wow.
And then came out and he was essentially cured. So I don't know about, the scientific background to this, but I'm going to take that anecdotal piece of evidence that happiness and putting a smile on people's faces and Marx Brothers being comedians, it's a big thing.
Oh, yeah. And that's why when Mandy and I started doing the podcast, people were really shocked that we laughed so much, because people think that when you're talking about, well, any sort of parenting and then adding in additional needs and disabilities, you should be serious. But actually, I think our lives are way more fun and funnier than a whole lot of our friends.
Yeah, our kids are funny.
Yeah. So I think that has really, a lot of people have been really shocked and been like, oh, it's a funny podcast.
But also we know what's important. So we know, the things that light us up.
And laughing. And laughing. Changes your day.
It does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think, what are your parents like? Are they lighthearted people, or did you pick up that from them?
Yeah, I think so. So Dad, as well as being a teacher, was an actor. And did a lot of comedies, and obviously watching the Marx Brothers with him growing up, it was sort of imparted on me that love of wit and humour and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. And so, it's essentially a 50-50 split where they're like obviously very committed to my health and making sure that all my care is up to standard and that sort of thing. But then they will happily have a laugh with my carers. At my expense, or mum and dad's expense. But, it's a lovely. It's like a broader family. We've accepted.
Well, they really are. Yes.
We've got to have a laugh about it.
Yes, and I suppose over the years you've had lots of people coming in and out of your life as your carers.
Yeah, so I've had number of carers. So my cousins are some of the most amazing people I ever meet. So they've jumped on planes with me to go to Europe and USA, they do it completely free of charge. They just jump on a plane with me so that I can do it.
Oh, that makes me want to cry.
So awesome. Beautiful.
A massive shout out to them, because I wouldn't be who I am without them. But also support workers I'm saying this summer to a mate, I reckon I've had over 100 support workers over my life. And they're rich friendships with them as well.
Yeah. And you would have seen the difference before NDIS and now during NDIS.
Yeah.
What's the difference been for you in that?
Yeah, sure. So in Queensland, we were the second poorest funded disability system.
Oh, really?
In Australia.
Wow.
So I, for a lot of my life growing up, did not have any formal care or support work.
Right.
It was friends helping me out. So it was a massive burden and struggle.
Yeah.
And then the NDIS came on and it just revolutionised. Now have carers taking me to go see mates, go to the pub with mates and have carers drop me off for dates and that sort of thing, because you don't really want mum and dad always dropping me off.
No, you really don't.
Sort of thing. So it's just the freedom that the NDIS has given me in terms of funding those activities, those carers to take me out and about. It's been massive.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's been massive in my little family, so yeah.
Yeah.
And do you, if you don't gel with one, how do you cope with that? Do you say, I don't want you to come back, or do you just put
tricky.
Up with it? It's really tricky. What do you do?
I love having a really diverse team of carers.
Right.
And I tend to get along with most people. There's been only a few that I haven't liked, and usually it's the way in which they treat me. It's sometimes condescending, they will not listen to what I want. They will say, oh, I've done this with 20 other previous clients. It must be the same for you.
Right.
And so it's, I firmly believe that rather than getting rid of them and just taking them off my team, I think it's really important that I actually have that conversation, because they might not be aware that that's a habit that they've developed.
Yep.
And I think it's good to address that. And so I think then when they go to the next person, they hopefully will have fixed that. So, yeah, I love having a diverse team, but I think as difficult as it might be, sometimes it's necessary to have those sort of, not confrontational, but those really honest, transparent conversations.
Yes. Well, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And obviously you have enough self-confidence to do it. Like, that's my hope that our children can,
Yeah, and sometimes, like when I was younger, I was petrified of having those conversations. Yes. So it comes down to the beautiful mothers in the world to sort of support and have that conversation as well. Because my care is, it's, you know, I'm at the centre of it, but it's not just me. It's also my friends and family, mum and dad around that. So they've got just as much right to share what they think should be done too.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. And I suppose those lines blur as you are an adult. From when you were a teenager or a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's taking more ownership of my own care and doing more things. But
how did your mum go with that? Because I need to learn some of those skills.
it's really tough. Like I can fully admit that, like, it must have been so difficult for mum to realise that, you know, as much as she wanted to wrap me up in cotton wool, the way in which we learn and become better people is by taking risks and learning from those mistakes. And so mum has always been of the mindset that, you know, I'm not going to do anything stupid. I'm not going to try and do some tricks driving down a flight of stairs or anything like that. So she quickly put a stop to that. But in terms of me going out and about and doing the stupid sort of things that elder teenagers do, it's about giving me the environment to do that in a safe sort of physically, you know, a safe way. So it's a balancing act, though. There's no right or wrong answer, I suppose. It's it's tough.
It sounds like she did a great job.
Yeah as I said, very, very blessed, and dad's support as well. But mum was always like, no, go out, do stuff.
She wants you to have a great life.
Take the chance.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nothing makes her more happy than seeing you thriving. That's how I feel. So I can imagine she feels like that too.
Do you have siblings?
I'm an only child. I jokingly say that parents stopped at perfection.
Well,
maybe.
That is the truth.
The truth is that, look, to be perfectly honest, my condition presented really, really young.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually get an official diagnosis for a while. And so there was, I think, a little bit of uncertainty there, whether it was genetic, whether the next kid have it.
Yeah.
And so by the time I was sort of seven and had that diagnosis, had all the genetic testing done, it was they were just really happy that I was there and no siblings on the way. And as I said, we had the three cousins who were fixtures of our household.
So they're like your siblings. That's right. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, can you tell me a little bit about, like, therapists? Have you got physios in your life and OTs, and what, or has that changed over time? How do you deal with all those people in your life?
Yeah. So growing up, I had physiotherapists. That was probably the primary therapist in my life. That was obviously just a, hopefully stop the deterioration of my muscles and a part of my condition. But I was the most stubborn child in the world and would run out of the house not wanting to do my stretches. So what I ended up doing is mum and dad would integrate swimming into my exercise routine a lot more. And we'd invite mates over, and essentially I was tricked into doing exercise, playing Marco Polo in the pool with mates.
Without
realising that there was a therapeutic benefit.
Because I think this is a real struggle for parents. So because there's a line of, when am I doing this to benefit them in their future and in their now? When am I doing this to try and change who they are? Do they deserve a day off like everybody else deserves a day off? It's really revolting questions that you have to ask yourself. And you know, obviously all parents will, you know, lots of kids will be like, I only want Velcro runners. And their parents are like, well, you got to have lace-ups now. And they'll have a tantrum about that. So, you know, as a parent, this is a ridiculous conversation. You have to have lace-ups. So sometimes those same things go, you have to go to physio, you know, yes, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you're like, actually, maybe you're right. This is your body as well. Like, it's really hard.
I remember I have a really good friend of mine. This is not a, it's probably not the most insightful anecdote to share, but he told his mum that at the age of 18, he would decide whether he wanted to wear his splints or not.
Yeah. Yep.
And the mother was like, yep, sure, I respect that. Up until the age of 18, we'll wear the splints. 18, you become an adult, you make your own life decisions. She got to the age of eight, for him to get to the age of 18. The birthday happened. She went to put the splints on and he was like, no, I'm 18, I'm not wearing them anymore.
Yeah.
And that was just, and so like, it's a tough thing because even as an 18-year-old, he still needed to do those stretches and wear the splints, but he just didn't want to. So
yeah, fair enough.
It's a tough thing.
It is tough, but other 18-year-olds smoke dope and get drunk and that's not good for them either. So, you know,
that's true.
You know, like we all make decisions that aren't great for us, but they do sort of, we end up paying the consequence, good or bad, for that, and it becomes part of our story.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, allowing, yeah, decisions like that are really, really important.
Yeah, I love that notion of it becomes part of our story, and it, you know, kind of makes us who we are, and
yeah,
I think that's really important. Absolutely.
Mm.
Can you tell us a little bit about, did you go to uni or what happened after school?
Yeah, I did. I went straight from school to uni. I actually, when I finished grade 12, approached the Queensland government of the time to get care at uni.
Right.
And their recommendation was actually for me to repeat grade 12 because that's what all people with disabilities did at the time.
What?
And I said, that's ridiculous. I've been accepted into uni. Why would I go back to grade 12?
Yeah.
What? That makes
and
no
so
sense.
That was none whatsoever. And I remember mum being so stern on the phone with
I bet she was.
She was advocating she, like yes, a motherfucker. That's what we say.
That's a polite way of putting it. She was on the warpath.
Yeah. And fair enough,
ready
too.
To go. And so we sort of resolved that. And then I went and did a Bachelor of Journalism and Arts at uni. So over the, I only did part time because obviously it was just too physically demanding for me to do full time.
Yes.
And then I decided that that wasn't enough for me. I went to do a master's after that, where I explored sort of the way in which speech can be inclusive and break down stereotypes.
Right.
It's a thesis that no one has ever read, and no one probably will read.
Oh, well, tell us about it right now.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story just about essentially, I don't know if you would have mentioned her, but the late, great Stella Young.
Yes. Oh, yep.
She was absolutely inspirational in terms of, she would hate me saying inspirational.
She would hate me saying inspirational.
That's okay.
But she genuinely was within breaking down the stereotypes. And I analysed speeches like hers and the way in which you can create speech that either enforces prejudice or demolishes it. So it was all about speech patterns, linguistics, and just about, how we embrace our own identities and, you know, become part of these large, beautiful groups. And that's my thesis. That's the
That's an awesome thesis.
That is an awesome thesis.
Yeah. We would read it.
Yes, we would. You might have to send it to us.
Yeah.
I'll think about it.
So then did you – what happened with your working life?
So this is something that's embarrassing to admit. I've never actually applied for a job in my life, really. I've always relied on sort of already established connections with people in the industry.
That's lots
that
of people.
Of
yeah, that's lots of people. Yeah. Of course.
So that's my slight confession. But through that, you know, I started writing for the Clickability blog.
Yep.
Then took on more responsibility with Clickability. And then actually, you know, did appraisals and they were like, we'd like you to take on more. And
yep,
sort of grew into this beautiful thing that it is now, working for them, doing their engagement. And then the other thing that I also do quite actively is I play power chair football.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so it's like us designing Mad Max style wheelchairs and getting this ball around a basketball court. So it's one of the really good things about that is that you watch the sport of power chair football and you instantly know that it's soccer.
It's
a brilliant spectator sport. But from a very early age, I was doing a lot of organising for our local league. I ended up doing coaching clinics and that sort of thing overseas in New Zealand. I've given input into Paralympic bids
sort of thing.
And for me, that sort of experience, I suppose, really helped me form those connections and make my resume look a little bigger and shinier.
No, so, I'd say you're very talented and smart and really easy to chat to. So those are the things that people look for when they're hiring people.
It's faking the confidence.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a whole podcast. That's basically. We pretended from the very first word.
Yep. We don't know what we're doing, but it hasn't held us back.
Oh, dear.
So I'd like to ask you a question and you can answer it, not answer it, it's fine. Mandy and I have received a little bit of criticism because we don't have a disability, but we're talking about our children with additional needs or disabilities. Does that piss you off when parents do that?
Not at all. My mindset is that at the end of the day, someone with a disability, they have certain things that they can't do, and so they rely on their family and their mothers and fathers to support them in that. So that's part of your beautiful existence, and that's the knowledge that you bring. And I think that's just as important. You know, it's similar level to me advocating and that sort of thing. I think we need to be united and all share our wisdom because I think that's what makes a change. That's what makes a difference. If it's just me, we're not going to have resources for mothers to raise their children with disabilities. We need to make sure that it's inclusive for sure.
Well, thank you for answering that.
And I suppose for us,
Everybody feels differently.
Everybody does feel differently. And
absolutely.
That's fine. I don't mind how people feel. And I suppose for Mandy and I, we felt everybody else, you know, like, I don't know, Dave Hughes or whatever, gets to go on the radio and talk about all their great stories about their kids. And we were this silent group, like what our kids' stories don't get to be told and all of our P community stories. And so I think that our whole thing is we just wish diversity was everywhere and there were no barriers. Like that's all we want.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're so eclectic and different.
And it makes life so great.
We've all got different opinions. And, I think it's ensuring that all those voices are heard. I think that's needed.
Okay. Well thank you.
Thank you. I just think especially when women, when mothers are surrounded by support, then aren't we going to do a 10 times better job parenting than if we're feeling lonely? So that's what I want to champion.
Yeah, agreed. Very much so.
Yeah. And lots of people feel lonely. And I think during this COVID corona time, it's taught all of us what it's like to not be able to access things that we took for granted and, have, you know, facilities we can't use. We can't go for a swim or we can't do this. And it's highlighted that if those things aren't accessible to people, it makes your life harder and you do feel more depressed. So let's make everything more accessible. Like that's what I think.
Absolutely. It's the notion that Stella Young spoke about in that we're not disabled by our diagnoses, but we're disabled by society.
Yeah, 100%.
For instance, it's not the fact that I can't walk that stops me from getting into a building. It's the fact that there's stairs leading into that building. I think that's a really powerful thing to think about.
It really is.
It's really, really powerful. And I think we're at this weird... Well, I find this as a parent sort of crossroads where if your child isn't neurotypical and so finds some sensory things really hard to handle, we spend years forcing them to accept that that's normal and that they should be able to do that instead of saying, Oh, you find it really hard to be in a crowd with a lot of noise. We won't do that, or we'll get you noise cancelling headphones and we'll go anyway. Like, like, where's this line of actually you're great how you are and we love you how you are, and why can't society just fuck off and accept you? Why do we have to change for you?
Well, that's the
absolutely
truth.
Yes.
You know?
I don't know.
What tips would you give to women like us?
Yeah, parents.
What are the things that your mum and dad did that you think made your life or made you thrive that maybe we don't think about? I know that's a big question.
Yeah, it's a big question, but it's a very important one. And I suppose I touched on it earlier, is that it's okay for the child to take risks and make mistakes because that's how they learn. And I think it's about finding, as you also just touched on then, different ways for them to do what they want to do. Mm. So, for instance, mum and dad recently, for the first time in my life, went to London without me. I was at home, so I had to learn how to adapt.
Yes.
Yep.
And I discovered that the best way to turn my TV on was using a potato masher from the kitchen. So I think it's all about, you know, parents finding really sort of life hack ways to enable that freedom and independence, and thinking outside the square, outside the box is really powerful as well.
That, you know.
Yeah, that's so true, and I think we really do need to do it.
Yes. I don't know how I'm going
to
do that.
Yeah, it's hard, but I think we need to do it.
But we will.
How do you go? Are you single?
I am currently, yes. Yes.
Well, I was just going to say to all the people listening that last week we were supposed to be interviewing you, and then Mandy had this fantastic experience of having to get her daughter tested for COVID-19.
Yes, I did.
Which is not actually fantastic. And you were like, that's fine, family comes first, I don't mind. So I was like, that is the sort of sentence I'd like to hear from a life partner. So I thought,
if you could just put the word out.
I just want to say he's really easy to chat to and he's single. So is there anything else you need?
No. Lovely. Highly qualified.
Yes.
It's the worst joke in the world as well. This will undo all the good work that I've done. But I also bring my own seat to all events. I'm great at carrying shopping bags, I'm the best shopping companion in the world.
And my daughter says that. Did you bring me because of the disabled park? And I said, no, maybe. Well, we're putting it out there for you, Tristram.
Yep.
Thank you. Good vibes. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll
the peas.
What comes back.
The pea tribe is amazing. You never know.
Amazing.
We'll be cheering you on.
And before we get into our cry difference laugh, is there anything that you would like to tell the world that we haven't asked you?
Yeah, we've beautifully captured a whole lot of different topics, and I think it all comes down to that notion of just sharing stories. I think it's so important.
Powerful.
It's how we learn, it's how we grow, it's giving people a voice to make the change in their lives based on what they want. And just to emphasize that, I think is really worthwhile. And no matter what the avenue is, always, whether it's on social media or print or whatever it is, always I think everyone should feel comfortable sharing their voice and advocating on behalf of themselves or their loved ones. I think that's really important.
Oh, you're doing a tremendous job.
More voices, not less.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, 100%.
And do you have like public social media channels that people can follow you on, or?
I'm across Facebook and Instagram. They're my own private accounts, but I accept everyone. I've got a lovely Powerchair football community, and I was going through my friend list. I'm like, I haven't met half these people Powerchair football, but
you've all got a bond. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's just about being mates with everyone, and I have no qualms.
What's that called then? Do you have? Is there at a club, or what's the association called for the power chair? And we'll tell people.
Yeah, so we've got. I'm on too many boards. It's a worry. The Queensland Power Chair Football Association is our local one, obviously.
Yep.
Then we've got the Australian Paratry Football Association. Yep. So if anyone in Australia has someone they know in a paratry that wants to participate in sport, it's by far the most equitable sport out there. It doesn't matter what your disability is. If you're a paratry user, you can play it.
Terrific. And what ages? How young can you start?
Yeah, our youngest in our local league, so our sort of Brisbane league, is I think 11.
Right.
I started when I was 5 back in 1990.
Right.
Whatever. Wow.
And then what's lovely is that we've also got a number of participants who are sort of late 50s, early 60s. So one of the gentlemen, I hope he doesn't mind me saying, was actually in AFL, not in AFL, he played Aussie Rules in WA and tipped and broke his back, became a quadriplegic.
Yep.
And his life goal was to play sport, and he discovered our sport, and he's been lapping it up ever since. So,
awesome.
Isn't it something powerful to have a place to belong?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it's such a lovely, lovely community. And what's we have this one of my very good mates, Kyakos, he's from a Greek family.
Yep.
And so his mum, Susie, sets up a Greek kiosk at every game, and all the mothers swap stories.
I want to come.
it's absolutely beautiful. It's such a, you know, that camaraderie, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, they would love that too so much.
And how often do you play?
Well, at the moment, scary times. Not as often as I would like. We just sort of do training one-on-one, but we'll be back in July, and we'll go back into every 2 weeks for our league, but we get together every
Is every there a fierce competition between Victoria and Queensland, or like?
There is indeed. One of my very good friends, Luke David, shout out to Luke David. He is the president down there. He plays as well, so he's very active down in Victoria. Touring would happily welcome new members, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, if
you don't have to worry about ever meeting any of us, because we are stuck in this state.
Yeah, that's right.
We're never getting out.
Well, let's do our Try Make a Difference laugh. Have you got some, Tristram?
Yeah, so it's what makes me cry.
Yeah, go for it.
The thing that probably – look, I think it's both crying with happiness and then also crying with sadness. So.
Yep.
Firstly, crying with happiness. I get really touched when I see people at sport, playing sport for the first time, as we sort of just touched on. So we had this young kid, 13, never played sport before, and he came along, and seeing him in one of our sort of chairs, we just lend people wanting to give it a go. And just his happiness like that genuinely touches me to see someone able to do something that they never thought they were able to do.
Yeah.
You could bottle it. My goodness.
With sadness, I think it's really important to note that we mentioned the death piece that I wrote.
Yep.
And sadly, I have lost some mates over the course of my life to illness and disability related concerns. But it's really important, although obviously incredibly sad, that we keep carrying their legacy onwards, and it's really sad and makes me cry, but it's also very important that legacy continues.
Honour their lives.
Yeah,
absolutely. Carry them with us in your own ways.
Always.
Yes.
Yeah.
Laugh, well, that's a weird pivot. I'm going to go talk about laughing. Sorry, guys. Laughing is I am probably – one of the most stubborn, cheeky people of all time. and so I look, I'll admit to your listeners that when I have a new carer, I like to pull pranks on them. So I have a new – one of my carers, his partner actually started caring for me recently, and we thought it would be great if he dressed me in the morning with nipple tassels on so that when she changed me – like that day, be really confused by why I'd be wearing nipple tassels. So I laugh at the stupid stuff. I laugh at disability, and I think those pranks are great.
That
I think
is the
awesome.
Greatest.
I cannot wait to tell my boys that story. After I explain what nipple tassels are.
Yeah, have fun. Have fun with that.
I don't want them Googling that.
That's the best, Tristram.
And has anything made a difference in your life in the last little while?
in the Little Rock, it's this is going to be cliche. People are going to roll their eyes, but we're all so socially disconnected at the moment because of COVID and whatnot. Yeah. But it's having those catch ups with friends and family.
Oh, absolutely.
Mum and dad.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, just I think that's what makes a difference to get through what is a pretty shitty time.
It is a shitty time.
Yep, it Who is. Knew you'd be so excited to see your parents?
That's it.
Oh, I think it's, you know, every time there's something really shit happens in your life, it really defines what's good.
Yeah.
And I think the friends that we've gone out of our way to catch up with as soon as lockdown sort of finished, or the ones we've Zoomed with, it's really made me realise how important they are to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much agree. It's
yeah.
Good to keep that hold and yeah, it gets us through it.
Yeah. All right, what about you, Mandy?
Nothing really made me cry particularly. I did have a cry last week, but I think it was just everything was getting on top of me.
Yeah,
oh, because I had the COVID testing for Miss Nine. She was so brave.
Yeah.
We
didn't know what was going to happen then.
No, I didn't. So then we were just sort of shut down in the house then until we got the results back. So I think I just cried with, oh, gosh, this
not
is...
Not again.
Yep. Not again, but also how many times are we going to have to do this? Because how often do children get sick? All the time.
Yes, and they're going to make them have the test every time.
Yeah, so I think I just had a bit of a, oh, I'm sick of this house and it's school holidays coming and all that sort of thing. So, that was my cry.
Yeah, well, I will admit that I had a bit of a cry selfishly when I saw the Victorian cases going up with COVID because I just thought for my business, you know, it's not great.
Yes.
And then for my family and friends and are we going to end up back to where we were? Mm. And then I shouldn't complain because I've actually got quite a great life anyway. And, you know, you go through all those stupid head miles. And the other thing, which I'm only briefly touch on, we are painting the twins' bedroom, which most people, that sounds like a really easy task.
Mm.
That is not an easy task in our life.
That's why you haven't done it in 14 years.
That's why we haven't. Change is not acceptable, as the super nanny would say, unacceptable. Unacceptable in this house to have any change. So we're pushing through, but I may just say there have been tears. But anyway, I'm a tough mother, so it's fine. And I will be all right. But that was my – did anything make a difference to you, Mandy?
I was so thrilled to be asked by the Australian Multiple Births Association to do 2 sleep webinars for them.
Yep.
So I did one and I was so proud because Amber wanted me to do one for families of children with disabilities. So Tristram Amber is the Australian Multiple Birth Association. And we started this podcast because we didn't feel like we really belonged in the multiple birth world. And so for them to say, we want you to present, because I am a sleep consultant, a talk for our families that have multiples with disabilities, I was so excited.
Yeah.
And I tried my hardest.
She was on cloud 9.
I was on cloud 9 because I thought this is my people.
Yeah.
And and I just wanted to thank my friend Tanya who helped me do another PowerPoint. Can't do it. I spoke for nearly 2 hours. That's a very long time to talk to yourself into nothing.
Yes. It's not, there's no feedback from the crowd.
No crowd feedback.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it went way longer than I planned, but there's so much to say.
Yeah.
So that made a huge difference to me to our community to be acknowledged by the Multiple Birth Association. They have, but this felt like they really said in this time in coronavirus, we're going to pay. And the Victorian clubs paid for me again.
Yep.
Thank you, Larissa, and to all the Victorian clubs for supporting me to do that. So that made a huge difference to me.
Yeah. So my make a difference, I've got 2. One is we have started this thing with our podcast. It's called Supporter, and you can just click a little button and you can give us money. So that's beautiful. We don't mind if people do or they don't, but it has been very nice and it's really...
Well, we can't mind. It's not like we can get cross with people.
Actually. but someone wrote, and you'd have to be a genuine listener to understand this, but someone wrote, this donation goes towards the Chupa Chup Fund.
Aww.
So you made such a difference in me that someone had listened and then donated because over the Zoom schooling, Tristram, one of the teachers said that they were keeping a list of all the kids that spoke up during the meetings or Microsoft Teams or whatever, and they were going to give them Chupa Chups when they go back to school. And for my boys, there is nothing they could – nothing worse that would be to have to public speak like that. And,
yeah,
you know,
of course.
And so one of them just looks at me and goes, well, there's no Chupa Chups for me. And then a P listener gave us a packet of Chupa Chups and he still got them.
That's lovely.
And the first thing he said when I tidied his room, where's the Chupa Chups? I was like, here, I've got them. So, yeah, I haven't yet told him there's more money coming into the Chupa Chup fund. But
that's
he's
amazing.
Really, he's kept the packet and everything. I didn't realize how important it was, you know.
Because he was being actively left out.
He was being actively left out. So, you know, anyway, teachers, we don't hate you.
No.
We love you. But
especially
don't
not
do
Tristan's
like
parents.
Just not your
teachers.
Parents. Yeah. And the other thing that's made a difference in my life, I was a little bit down after all the numbers started going up in the last week or two, and then our number one daughter's boyfriend walks in the house last Wednesday and he goes, do you know what day it is? And I was like, no. He goes, White Wine Wednesday.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, what's White Wine Wednesday? He's like, you're about to find out. And he just goes and pours me a big glass of wine. And we just, I don't know why it made us laugh so much to think here we are on a Wednesday drinking wine, but it really made us laugh.
Yeah, and say the rest of the story.
And so then Mandy.
And I was crying because I'd had the coronavirus test.
Yeah, so Mandy had a terrible day. She'd had the coronavirus test. We couldn't record the podcast. We hadn't seen each other. And I said, well, you need to have White Wine Wednesday. And she goes, well, I don't have any wine and I'm at home and I've had a fight with my partner and, you know. And I was like, to scholarship, if only I could get some wine to her, but I can't. And she goes, yes, you can. Just go on to Uber. Instead of picking up a person, it'll pick up a product for you. And it took it over to her house.
Yes, it did.
So we both had White Wine Wednesday remotely.
I just walked straight out the door and he goes, oh, I was instructed to leave it at the door. I said, I'm here. I'm at the driveway.
So it was a fun White Wine Wednesday.
Oh, dear.
Anything make you laugh, Mandy?
Well, the people in the hangout and the people know that I ordered flowers for Bryony for her 40th birthday.
This is one of our friends,
of
our moderators,
Tristram, and she helps us on our socials.
Yep.
And it was her 40th birthday, so I decided I was going to send her some flowers. I knew Kate was doing that as well, but I thought I won't jump in on her. I should have. I thought I'll send it to her myself. So I go in, I fill it all out. I choose a florist in her suburb because she lives on the other side of Melbourne. And I just automatically put my credit card details in.
Yep.
And then I didn't think about it. And then later in the day I got a text saying your flowers are about to arrive. And I thought, oh, this is so lovely. She's going to get the flowers soon. And then a car arrives in my driveway and the flower delivery comes to me. I opened the card thinking, who sent me flowers? And it says, dear Bryony, happy 40th birthday. And I just start losing it. I'm laughing. I'm like, what have I done? But I just think because it automatically put in my credit card with my address, I never actually even put her address in.
Yeah, it's tricky. You've got to be careful of that.
You've got to be careful, people. So the flowers came from the other side of Melbourne to my house.
Paid a big delivery fee,
I paid a big delivery fee. Possibly brought COVID-19.
Possibly.
And the footprint on the, you know. Anyway, it was so funny. I rang her. She was at the Royal Children's. Then we just start absolutely crying with laughter on FaceTime. And everyone knows the rest of it, but what a duffer.
And also, P's, anybody, if something needs to get sent,
ask
I'll
Kate.
Do it.
This is a problem. I keep saying to Kate, I'm not a details person. These things, I'm just too busy thinking, yeah, let's give flowers. Great. This happens to me my whole life. I could write a book about all the stupid shit I've done. Yeah.
So two things made me laugh. One is that someone somewhere along the line, Buzz has heard the phrase, kiss me, Kate. So I'm every night, hey, kiss me, Kate. Kiss me, Kate. It's just making me laugh to hear my 14-year-old son say that to me. And the other thing that really made me laugh last week, we had the last week of school here in Victoria. So we were on school holidays at the moment and I was talking to Woody in the morning and I said to him, what have you got on for school today? He goes, oh, it's a great day. He goes, we've got a test and I love tests. I was like, really?
Okay.
He's like, yeah, I don't know why people don't like them. You get a whole hour. You don't have to do anything. You just write things down if you remember them. And the best part, no one's teaching you anything new. You just sit there. I love them. Actually, that's quite a nice way to look at a test.
It is a nice way to look at a test.
You know, he he's like, he doesn't care. And he's like, I said, oh, some people care about what they get on the test. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, okay, let's not even go there.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, that's my, you know, can you not laugh living with these kids?
Oh, no, so funny.
Anyway, that I think is the end, beautiful peas. Yes. Maybe you've got to rate and review.
Yes, go and find Tristram. Go listen to Grow Bold with Disability.
Yep.
You'll find out we plugged our episode, but there's lots of fabulous episodes
really
on there.
There really is, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And maybe one day we'll get to Brisbane when the state's open. We were supposed to do a live show there.
Tristram, in
maybe we can meet
Please.
You.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being generous today. And
Thank you so much for having me. Wishing you safety and wellness. And
Thank you, Tristram.
Okay. See you. Bye.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
ACAST recommends.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.